May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 338. 338. By whom was David taught to aim the dreadful blow when he Goliath fought and laid the Gittite low? No sword nor spear the stripling took, but chose a pebble from the brook. Hymn 338.
Thank you. Read together from the most holy word of God, from Jeremiah's prophecy in the 29th chapter. Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, from the carpenters and the smiths, were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah king of Judah sent unto Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I'll make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, and sword with the famine and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and an hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Babylon, Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kaliah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest instead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in the lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, O do humble us under thy mighty hand, That we might, as we've entered into thy courts this day, have that view of what we are as revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Yes, and in the light of one before whom we stand. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Oh, to have that sense of our great need made known unto us. Will it not make us tremble in our measure? Yes, for when that is revealed to us what we are, how can we approach unto one that is holy, holy, holy? But oh, what a mercy if we've been led, yes, and taught by the Spirit, one that truly did condescend to this lower world, the eternal Son of God, having taken upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, made under the law, to satisfy the law in every jot and tittle for his chosen people, his church, his bride. And it was accomplished. And blessed be God. We often think of the words of Christ that came from his lips before he laid down his life. No man took it from him, but he freely gave it. But he cried out, "It is finished, it is finished." And there was that which satisfied the law, that spotless Lamb of God laid down his life. And so it was, so it was. But oh, blessed be God, the grave could not hold thee, the grave could not hold thee. Raised again for our justification. But oh, what a mercy. That one raised again for our justification is now ascended on high and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. Ah, what a mercy. That way of access made for a poor sinner to approach unto thee through a mediator, through a glorious high priest, their advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ himself, all that one that is now set down on the right hand of the Father. Yes, that has a feeling for us in all our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And may it please you then, as we've been favoured to gather in thy courts, and we come with all our varied concerns and scenes of life. Ah, yes, each one's heart is known to thee, but blessed be God. Let us therefore come boldly, not that fleshly boldness, but that enabling by the blessed Spirit. Let us therefore come boldly. When we think upon that one that waiteth there to be gracious, the God-man, one truly, verily God, verily man, one that truly was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, one that knew what it was to declare, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Oh, we come unto that one that truly was. Yes, truly was tempted. Truly was despised and rejected of men. And a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Truly knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. For he took part of the same. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, thou knowest the needs of each one. the various scenes of life and the burdens which they carry, and perhaps one even this day, with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin, oh, the burden of sin. But oh, we often find the cares of this life weigh us down. We find we're like Martha, and Martha had no power to lift herself above these things. Ah, careful and troubled about many things, and perhaps one, it is those cares of this life, the lawful cares, yet they burden them on thy day. Oh, may it please thee, lift us above the cares of this life, and set our hearts and minds upon those things which are heavenly, which are eternal. Oh, may we each be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And so we plead the Spirit's aid. Oh, we plead the blessed Spirit's aid. Ah, yes, for without the blessed Spirit we cannot do anything. And without the prompting of the Holy Spirit, neither can we pray aright. And so we plead, do prompt us within. Show us what we should pray for as we ought, and give us each that true spirit of prayer and supplications, that we might make our requests known unto thee with thanksgiving. Oh, and how solemn it is, we can soon forget to praise thee. But oh, it enjoins it, does it not? With thanksgiving. And so we would, as we're enabled, as we've gathered this day, thank thee for thy mercies and favours. Thou hast spared us to see this another Sabbath day. Thou hast not cut us off or dealt with us according to our sins. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Ah, yes, and as regards our path, we've lacked nothing. Thou hast brought us each hitherto. Maintain us each in the way. Been better to us than all our fears. And yes, sometimes we prove thou hast made those mountains flow down before us by thy presence. Yes, thy presence has made those mountains flow down before us. Thou hast made those dark places light and those rough places plain. And thou hast done wonders for us whereof we're glad. Oh, we've been brought to those times when we can acknowledge that it was none other but Almighty God hath done this or performed that for a poor unworthy sinner. And so do we know to praise thee, to come like the psalmist of old, to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And can we not come in with a psalmist when we are brought to meditate upon what thou art and what thou hast been unto us, unworthy sinners. Yes, and those thoughts which thou hast towards us, have we not some as we prove they're more than can be numbered. They're more than can be numbered. Ah, how great is thy faithfulness, and thy mercies have been new every morning. Ah, yes, and have we not known those times when, yes, we've known a little of that peace of God which passeth all understanding, made known unto us in the depths of trouble, when thou hast drawn near and spoken even such words as these to this poor sinner as we stand before the people. Ah, yes, ye have no need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And have we not proved it to be so? Ah, yes. We prove that salvation which is the Lord, that deliverance which only the Lord can give. Ah, yes. And in those things of time, we trust it brings to this a little hope in thy mercy, if thou art merciful unto us in those things regarding, yes, poor trembling worm Jacob, as they travel in this vale of tears. It gives a little hope in thy mercy. Gives a little hope in thy eternal favour. Ah, yes, and it grants that encouragement to pray, does it not?
Ah, yes, regarding our end. Yes, that we might be prepared for our end and be found amongst those, and that petition comes to our mind. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Ah, may we be brought even to consider our latter end, and to know that, yes, our days, whether they're spared to many years here upon the earth, they are but short compared to eternity. Eternity with all its unnumbered years. And it is a tremendous sound, is it not? At times we know what it is to tremble at the thought of it. But oh, to have a little hope raised up, that we're found amongst those sheep of Christ's choosing, those sheep which thou hast gathered into the flock, into that flock, through Christ, which is the door. Ah, those of God's choosing. Ah, yes, and they've heard the voice of the shepherd. That voice has been made known unto them. And yes, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The certainty of it. But all to know, ah, that we are amongst those, the sheep of Christ's choosing. So we plead, do take us each in hand. Leave us not to a way which seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. But all to be found in that narrow way, which leadeth unto life. For thy word declares it is so, it is straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And that is a burden to us, is it not? Few there be that find it. Or to be found amongst those few. Or amongst those few. Shut in with Christ. Are clothed upon with that robe of his righteousness. And washed in his precious blood. Oh, yes, the Marys and the Manassas. Ah, yes, and like the apostle declared of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief. And when a poor, trembling one is brought there, he feels he is the chiefest of sinners. Ah, we think of that word as the apostle declared it unto the in his epistle to the Romans. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so there is hope, is there not, for the worst. The most deep died, the most out of the way. Ah, there is hope in thy mercy. And whilst there is life, there is hope. We're still upon praying ground. Ah, the day of grace has not ended, and the door of mercy is not closed. But all to be found amongst those, ah, yes, hungering and thirsting after thee and after thy righteousness. Oh, we found amongst those, as we gathered in thy courts this day, whom thou hast bore their ear to the doorpost. Ah, yes, the years, some as we look back to, that we came and went from thy house. We swung in and out, and we had no more feeling or desire than the door upon its hinges. We just went in and went out, satisfied with the outward form. But all the ear being bore to the doorpost, when that word, perhaps we might have heard it spoken many a time before, but that appointed time comes when that is like the two-edged sword. It divides between the joint and the marrow. It is like the nail in a sure place. It cannot be removed. And it is like thy word declares, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, we plead that it might be that work of thine in each one's heart. Ah, yes, that work of thine. For it is by the power of God alone. For no man can change his heart or renew his will or turn his feet to Zion's hill. His heart is as hard as the hardest stone. It is unmoved. But oh, when thou dost break the hard heart, when thou dost give the heart of flesh and those new and living desires, Then is it not this, like those Greeks of old, sir, we would see Jesus. And like we also quote, give me Christ, or else I die. So we plead, do take us each in hand, from the youngest here to the oldest. We fast hasten on, each one of us. We fast hasten on to a never-ending eternity. Oh, to be prepared for that day when time shall be no more. For that day of judgment stands before us each. It cannot be avoided. It cannot be avoided. Nor as we thought upon it on the last Lord's Day concerning the sheep and the goats. There shall come that day when that separation shall be made. The goats upon the left, and the sheep upon the right, the right hand of thy choosing, gathered in by the right hand of thy righteousness, and the goats, oh, how solemn indeed, as we read it in Matthew's Gospel, I believe it is chapter 25. Oh, the difference between the two and the end of them. Ah, yes, for the sheep, that place prepared in heaven for them. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But all for the goats. Ah, how solemn, cast out into that place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. And there is then that great gulf fixed. That great gulf fixed. It's a tremendous thought. But all we know by nature, and our old nature would say, well, don't think about it. We'll pass over that thought. Ah, yes, but we need, may it be by the blessed Spirit, be brought to consider our latter end. For after death there is a judgment. After death there is a judgment. Thy word declares it. Thy word declares it. But our old nature tries to shut it out. Tries to shut it out. But oh, may that voice be heard. The voice of the Lord God Almighty speaking into our very heart and into our very soul. Ah, that voice which will awaken the dead. Ah, yes, the voice that brings that life into the soul which wasn't there before. There might be even this with each one of us. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, soul trouble. The Lord cried unto the Lord in their trouble, their soul trouble. And may they prove like we read in that psalm. The Lord heard and answered and delivered. Ah, yes, the Lord heard and answered and delivered. And so we plead, do remember each one here. And once again we see the dear young ones and the very young, the babes in arms and those that are growing up and going on into life. Lord, remember them in their young years, we plead. What a dark and evil day in which our lot is cast, and certainly theirs is. And what have we seen in the way of change in our day, in our own lifetime, and certainly in these past few years, greater changes, and not for the better, but for the worse. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. The floodgate of iniquity is opened. Ah, yes, and when we think about our the statute book with the laws of the land written upon it. Ah, yes, how many of those laws now are completely contrary to the law of God. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Oh, how solemn indeed. Show our leaders what they ought to do, we plead, and stem that evil tide. Frustrate the evil designs of men as they seek to bring more and more into, and certainly the young lives in the way of education, in the way of education, these things are thrust upon them. Oh, may it please that our young and the rising race might be found amongst those that has given them that fear, the fear of the Lord, which is a beginning of wisdom. But oh, there might be in due time the tender fear of the Lord, that filial fear, which is through love. But the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. And like we read concerning Joseph of old when tempted, so did not I because of the fear of the Lord. And so keep them, we plead. Give parents that help as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember those in the midst of life with all its attendant cares, and it is a day of many cares, both in providence as well as grace. But yes, we think upon even providential troubles and sorrows. But we read, do we not, the gold and silver thine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's, we read, and the fullness thereof. Thou hast declared it of thyself. It is thine. It is thine. And what a mercy. Yes, that good shepherd and bishop of our souls knows what we have need of, and have not some of us proved it through our little lives. The Lord is able to provide for his people more than they can ask or even think. Yes, he can provide for them more than they can ask or even think. Yes, and what a mercy. That shepherd. That shepherd. His eyes are ever open upon his people. Omniscient, omnipresent. The Lord is at hand and not afar off, although at times we feel in those dark places that sometimes we feel we're forsaken, but not forsaken. The Lord is at hand. And the Lord is able to do for his people, yes, truly, above all than they can ask or even think. Yes, and we've proved it in our measure, and one another have proved it here. That thou art a God of providence and a God of grace, a God for time and a God for eternity. And to remember those in that bear the heat and burden of the day with all its cares, and perhaps they got those things before them, wonder how they'll manage and how they'll be brought through. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And oh, when we look in the margin of that psalm concerning that burden, it speaks like this: what God hath assigned thee. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing is out of order. Our carnal reasoning thinks it is. But oh, when we prove, yes, there is help laid upon one that is mighty. Yes, in those cares of this life and in the busy sea. And so to know each one, whether they're younger or older or in between, to cast their burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain them. Yes, even the young have their burdens. The young have their burdens. May they prove in their young years the Lord is able. The Lord is able to do for his people more than they can ask or even think. And so to remember those also in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, do be pleased to make thyself known unto them as a God of Jeshurun that rideth upon the heaven in their help and has done. Brought them thus far. And perhaps they proved in their lives, their pilgrimage, they can come with the psalmist. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. But oh, the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in their help, and his excellence upon the sky, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Those everlasting arms will not forsake them. And remember those in their afflictions and difficulties. Yes, afflictions and infirmities. But affliction, bodily affliction. Ah, yes, and body and mind and spirit and soul. Bless all the means used for bodily affliction which are available to us in our day. Sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. May they prove yet is amongst those all things that work together for good, to those that love God, to those that accord according to his purpose. And so we plead for any in their afflictions. And perhaps they know what it is, a path of often pain and groaning under that burden. Yes, we've known a little of it ourselves. When it's not sanctified, when we're in our old nature, we kick and struggle against it like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. But oh, sometimes we've been brought, and blessed be God, we've looked upon our affliction and our pain, and we've brought into a measure of sympathy with Christ and his sufferings. When we're brought to meditate upon it, then we come to this: what are our pains compared to what the Lord of life and glory suffered in our room, place and stead? But oh, when we're brought to those places also, when we can say, it was good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So remember such, we plead. And to remember thy church in this dark and evil day, what desolations we have seen, turning aside our rebelliousness, forsaking thy truths. How solemn it is. So we plead, and we have to look at our own hearts also. And we come like the psalmist, search me and try me, and see if there's been a wicked way in my heart. And bring us each that true repentance and godly sorrowful sin. But oh, do strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And as we plead as regards our nation, just briefly we plead again, have mercy upon us. We believe in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We believe thou hast heard the cries of the remnant, the sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. Stir us up ever to cry. Stir us up ever to cry for those abominations which we see, which grieve us. And if it grieves us, how much more must it grieve thee? Thou who art of pure eyes. But oh, as we see the goodly crops coming into ear now, and the measure that abundance of those ears and the goodliness of them. And we've seen the flowering of the fruit trees, etc. And we thank thee that that promise remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night and cold and heat, shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. Thy promise, we thank thee for it. And thou hast, thus far, hast thou not, in the past year, food for both man and beast. But we would not be unmindful of those areas of the world, and especially those war-torn areas, Ukraine, etc., and other places also, where there is, a great deal of suffering and distress and wondering how the scene will end. Lord, we plead, do yet bring an end to that conflict, a right end. Subdue one a destructive mind. He has no regard for man, no regard for the sufferings of men. And we also think of one, a leader of another nation, I believe it's Syria, is it not? They have no regard to the sufferings of men, their fellow creatures. How solemn. But all we plead for those that knoweth is to be under such regimes and in such areas of conflict. Oh, comfort their hearts where thy people are. And as we gather that there are, those that through these terrible things in righteousness, perhaps in that way been brought to call upon Almighty God for the first time. All these terrible things in righteousness. What a mercy if there should be, an awakening But oh, as we look upon these things, perhaps we think they're in a distance, a certain length of distance away from us. But all might be even that wrought in our nation. Ah, yes, an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the places. This little cause of truth here and this little cause of truth elsewhere. Ah, there might be those yet brought in, brought to tremble and smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we plead to help us now. Help this poor one to turn to thy word. Thou knowest my need is great, but thou art greater than my need. Ah, for the work is thine, the power is thine. Ah, and thou hast the words of eternal life. So do pour in now, we plead. Pardon and forgive our sins, our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Jeremiah 29. And yes, it was not what I had in mind to read or to speak from, but in the early hours of the morning, yes, perhaps the Lord takes away our sleep from us for these reasons. The Lord knows. But this verse was brought to my mind in the very early hours of the morning. So verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Verse 10 reads also, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And then those verses that follow, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall find me, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I'll turn away your captivity, and will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I'll bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." We know it speaks in that way concerning the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem. But yes, what a mercy we can look upon it concerning the spiritual Israel. The spiritual Israel. Yes, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Well, concerning man, yes, and we had it, did we not, in that hymn we had just now, and the second verse, "Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Thou hast ruined wretched man. Ever since the world began, thou hast God afflicted too. Nothing less than that would do." That's concerning the blood of Christ and the offering of himself. But all concerning sin. Sin, yes, sin, when it entered, it brought about that separation. It brought about that separation from God. When he got to turn back to the book of Genesis in the sixth chapter there, and we read also this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that," and this is God's declaration of man, "and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." How solemn. But that is declared of us all. We each come from the loins of Adam. We come from the loins of Adam. We're each conceived in sin and shape and iniquity, and who can know it? But that is how it is. That's what we are, whether we realize it or not. And when we're yet dead, we do not want to know it. We may have it spoken and we hear it preached from the on the Lord's Day. But I also thought upon another portion which came to my mind likewise this morning. But what do we read? What do we read in Isaiah's prophecy? The 57th chapter, we read there, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace,
They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. That's imputed righteousness, that one is accounted as upright. That imputed righteousness of Christ, which is made known unto a poor sinner. Ah, yes, made known unto a poor sinner by the blessed Spirit. And at the end of that chapter, what we read, that same chapter, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But then this solemn declaration. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And then this solemn verse, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. That's a word of God. That's a word of God. As I said, I believe I mentioned it in prayer, but my mind went back whilst in prayer to the last Lord's Day when this also came to my mind, if I can find it. But all we read, do we not? Concerning, yes, those sheep and goats. And it is the word of God, that which is unalterable. Whatever man may say, whatever man may say or declare of it, the word of God is unalterable. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, we read in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate. That's God. Almighty God shall separate. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Ah, there will be no mistake in that day. Ah, whatever we may think of ourselves, or raise ourselves up to think we are what we are, there will be no mistake in that day. Yes, when we have to appear before Almighty God, and there shall be that separation. This shepherd, this glorious shepherd and bishop of our souls, there shall be that separation. And as I thought upon it in the past days of the past week, we read even that regarding the wheat and the tares. Let them grow up together. Let them grow up together. Ah, yes, there was not to destroy the wheat with the tares by pulling one up, as it were, whilst they were still growing. But let them grow up together until that day of harvest. And then there was to be that separation, separating the tares from the wheat. And so coming back to this, the sheep, the shepherd shall divide the sheep. Yes, there will be no mistake. There will be no counterfeit, not those wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. They'll be found out in that day. The goats on the left, the sheep on the right hand. Then shall the king sound to them on his right hand, come ye, blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you read of that kingdom in John's Gospel, in my Father's house, that promise to the Lord's people, to his sheep. There's that place prepared for them. But then further down in that 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we read this. And how solemn. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, this is the sovereignty of God. A man in his wickedness would argue against the sovereignty of God. But yes, the sovereignty of God declares this. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Ah, how solemn it is. Depart from me, cast out forever. Cast out forever. No peace to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But the righteous, yes, he's despised of his fellow men. Ah, yes, the righteous are found amongst that remnant. A remnant of all mankind. But a remnant. And they shall be despised. The shepherd was despised and rejected of men. And a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Ah, and if the shepherd was despised, so will be the sheep. The world would despise them. But ah, the outcome, the glorious end for those. He shall enter into peace, that eternal peace. Yes, they will be found amongst those beggars poor feelingly, the beggars poor at mercy's door. That would be made known unto them, they shall feel it in the truth of it. The beggar poor at mercy's door. Lie such a wretch as I, but they are brought, yes, they are raised up as sons and daughters by blessed adoption, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And ah, yes, my simple way of looking upon that is, clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness and washed in his precious blood. Yes, clothed upon. And as we think upon it, you read that. I know I may have quoted it before, but the word of God will never wear out. And perhaps it comes right where one is, even in their feelings this day. But if I can find it, I can't remember which chapter it is, but in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, is it where it speaks of that one that has brought to loathe themselves. Brought to loathe themselves, is it the 16th chapter? The one brought to the loathing of themselves. That is by the Spirit, yes, the 16th chapter. In Ezekiel's prophecy, yes, we read there, none I pitied thee. You read that chapter. What a mercy it is we're found amongst those. Ah, yes, not forsaken. But yes, like Ruth of old, brought into that union, that blessed union with Christ. Yes, that robe of Christ's righteousness cast over them, to hide what they are by nature. But not only that, washed in his precious blood. But we read in that 16th chapter of Ezekiel, that one to the loathing of themselves. If you've ever been brought there, poor sinner, you loathe yourself. The Spirit has revealed to you what you are, your desperate need, to the loathing of thyself. And none I pitied thee to do any of these. Yes, you read it. As for thy nativity in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not sorted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person. In the day that thou wast born. That's that new birth. The Lord said, marvel not when I say unto thee, ye must be born again, and that's that new birth, and none I will pity thee, to have compassion upon thee. But oh, you read later down, when I pass by thee, when I pass by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Ah, what a mercy. When I passed by thee, had compassion upon thee. Ah, what compassion. Yes, it is manifest unto a poor sinner. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, when that one is brought into that new birth, yes, he finds the law condemns him. The law won't pity him or her. The law ever will condemn. And you'll find, yes, like many of us have done, when that work of grace is deepened in the soul, we seek to try and patch up our own inglorious righteousness. We seem like that one that adds a patch into the garment and it makes the rent worse. We find like this, do we not? The more we sin against sin, the more we strive against sin's power, we sin and stumble, but the more we strive against sin's power, we sin and stumble, but the more we sin, to add sin to sin, make matters worse, and the Lord condemns us again, not one whit better, not one whit better. And perhaps you're like that woman that had that issue. Perhaps you can identify with her. She spent her all seeking help of physicians as regards her bodily affliction, but we look upon it in that spiritual way. That which a poor sinner is brought to feel, ah, yes, that which is coursing through his veins, which will bring about eternal death unless there's that remedy. That remedy applied, and that remedy has that effect. She rather grew worse. Ah, what a mercy we brought there. We find, yes, our schemes, our thoughts in it. Well, we have to prove this. Our thoughts are not as the Lord's thought. And neither our ways as his ways. His ways are past finding out. But what a mercy. When we prove that, yes. And you may say, well, you don't know how I feel. I've got so bad now. But what a mercy if you've been brought there. We've rather grown worse. Yes. Stripped of any fancied meetness, stripped of all sense of hope in oneself, then they call upon me. Then shall you call upon me. You say, may say, well, I've prayed before. Ah, some of you look back to those times we thought we prayed. We still put our own hand to it. We thought we could still do a little here and a little there, a bit of improvement here and make amends there. But this is a prayer of necessity then, and it's a spirit enabling, the spirit moving within. And it's by the power of God, the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Yes, the power of God within. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Ah, yes. that true spirit of prayer and supplication is given. When that one is stripped of anything of self, any fancy of meekness in all themselves, any hope in themselves. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. Yes, it won't come forth from feigned lips. It'll come forth from the very soul. The very soul. Yes, when one's brought to loathe themselves, when they're brought to that place, none I pities them. But it's a desperate case. You go back to that chapter in Ezekiel's prophecy. Cast out in the open field. Ah, yes, none I pitied, but what a mercy. Ah, yes, one that does pity. One that does pity. And yes, one that will have mercy. One that will hear and answer and grant that deliverance, grant that salvation. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. I will hearken unto you. The word of the Lord. Oh, does that suit you then, poor sinner? Yes, on the one hand, the law condemns. There's no peace there. But you've been brought to this, even perhaps like the hymn 925. Ah, the Spirit has revealed it to you. And you see there is no other peace or salvation anywhere else. Peace by his cross. Peace by his cross as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Oh, hell and sin as victory won. And with a shout to glory gone, yes, peace by his cross. Ah, then you'll have need of that which the hymn declared, that hymn 154, that precious blood of Christ. You long for this, you'll come often, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Show me thy salvation. Oh, I believe as I looked upon the word of God this morning, there was one portion in the Psalms. If I can lay my eyes upon it. But yes, the psalmist David. What a mercy if that's wrought in your heart and mine. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That's real prayer then. Soul prayer, not lip prayer. Lip words, they come easily, do they not? Lips can speak many words, they fall to the ground. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. But then this petition, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Ah, yes, the petition that comes from the soul. The soul that cries out for the living God. The never-dying soul that sees that it turns before it. And the law, yes, under the law, their sins condemn them. Condemn them to that place, even as a wicked where there is no hope. But ah, yes, what a mercy still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended. The day of grace has not ended. Ah, these petitions are left on record for the encouragement Yes, the encouragement of the Lord's people, that the Lord's trembling ones. And you may feel, well, I can't even come as far as that, but do you know what it is? Tremble, being burdened. Ah, yes, perhaps you feel you can't even come that far to say, I'm one of the Lord's trembling ones. You're still to be afar off, an outcast. But what a mercy. Ah, my sheep, we read, are the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. Or words to that effect, I believe, is in John's Gospel. Other sheep I have, I try and find it, but other sheep I have. What a mercy, it's not left to man. But yes, this shepherd knoweth his sheep. This shepherd that knows his sheep, that has given his life for the sheep. Yes, you turn to that chapter in John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then further on down, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must bring. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then listen to this poor trembling sinner. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Lay down his life, giveth his life for the sheep. Giveth his life for the sheep. Ah, yes, and what a mercy when that is opened up to your understanding. Made known unto you, yes, gave his life for the sheep. And it satisfied the law. It satisfied the demands of the just, unalterable law of God. And ah, may it yet be made known unto you, poor sinner, it was in your place instead. Religion is personal. It's your never-dying soul and mine. Ah, do you long for that to be made known unto you? Yes. You feel that hideous, the monster sin and the curse of it. Ah. The next verse in that hymn we had, 154, would we then rejoice indeed? Be that would we then rejoice indeed? Be it that from thee we're freed, and our justice cause to grieve is that thou wilt to us cleave. Faith relieves us from thy guilt, but we think whose blood was spilled. All we hear or feel or see serves to raise our hate to thee. Dearly we are bought for God, bought us with his own heart's blood. Boundless depths of love divine, Jesus, what a love was thine. Though the wonders thou hast done are as yet so little known, here we fix and comfort take. Jesus died for sinners' sake. Ah, the knowledge of it. The knowledge of it made known into the heart, not talk of it with the... Yes, many can speak of it. Speak of it with the lip and give assent to the as regards the Christ and what he came to do. But it's have it made known. Made known, revealed to a poor sinner, sealed upon his heart. Then that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, then it shall be known. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. These are the shalls and wills of Jehovah. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. Yes, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. and I will turn away your captivity. Yes, we were servants of sin and Satan. And Satan's blind slaves, we sported with death many years. Ah, yes, we were Satan's blind slaves, sporting with death for many years, some of us. And how some it was, we didn't know it. But ah, what a mercy. Ah, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? When Almighty God puts forth his hand and brings you to this, then ye shall call upon me. And then those blessings will follow. They will follow in his time and way, that one will be brought to see. Not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say, for me, and I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. And I'll turn away your captivity. Yes, once Satan's blind slave, sporting with death, but now amongst the despised of the Lord, despised of the world. Yes, the despised of the world. Found walking in that narrow way in the footsteps of the shepherd of his sheep. And I'll be found of you, saith the Lord, and I'll turn away your captivity, and I'll gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I'll bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Ah, plead on, poor sinner. Ah, yes, what a mercy. There may be much still to be stripped from you. Some we still prove, do we not? And we shall to the end of our days. There's still much dross and tin to consume. But oh, when I look back to those years when the Lord deepened that work of grace in my soul. Yes, we still thought we could do this and do that. Until we were brought to this. Nothing in my hands. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening. On Friday evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Warboys is expected to preach and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Our closing hymn is 144. 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Thank you.
dear Lord. Do be pleased to bless those few scattered remarks made in thy name this morning. And anything amiss in thy sight, blot it out from the minds, we plead, and cover it the mantle of thy forgiving love. And do remember us now as we leave thy courts for the moment. One, as we journey on to Southery this afternoon, we seek thy help there. But do gather us again, if it could please thee, again this evening here. And give unto this poor one that needed help again. We're dependent upon thee. Yes, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so do remember us now as we leave thy courts, and remember us in the interval. Perhaps one or another may yet have to go into the closet and pour out their heart before thee. Thou knowest. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.